Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Merry seventh day of Christmas. If you've been singing along with the song, this is Seven Swans A-Swimming, very much meant to relate to the seven gifts of the Spirit laid out in Romans chapter 12. That is, having the gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in the proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Those are all true in you. The Lord has given you faith. The Lord has given you the ability to serve him, to teach the faith to others, to let others know of this Jesus who is your Savior and theirs. Yes, we continue in the church celebrating Christmas even after the Christmas season has been boxed away by so many. We still take the time to rejoice. In fact, you'll notice that our church still looks the same that it did on Christmas if you were here. There were some of you who were here three times over a two-day stretch. And even if you weren't, I'm so thankful to see you back here this morning. It is a joy every time I get to stand in this pulpit and proclaim the word of Jesus to you. Because I know that, like you, I am a sinner who is unworthy of doing this. And yet, by God's grace, he has called me to proclaim to you that Jesus Christ has died for your sins and mine. It is truly beautiful when we come together for the spirit of Christmas. That is Christ's Mass, the divine service set on the nativity or birth of the Savior. And sometimes we can forget that this is all a part of God's plan, that he set kingdoms to rise and kingdoms to fall to get us exactly where we are right now, that he set apart the place in Israel, gave that land to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, and to his seed. And we remember that according to their unfaithfulness, God allowed other kingdoms to come in and sweep them through. God raised up Assyria. God raised up Babylon. God raised up the Persians, and then the Greeks, and then the Romans for his specific purpose. Give consideration to our words from Galatians. When the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. God allowed all of those nations to rise up, sometimes to punish his children, sometimes to praise them. But God had Rome in place for that time to build the roads that she did, so that the gospel maybe go out into all the land. So that the good news that this Jesus is not just born for the country of Israel or Palestine, but that this Jesus is born for all nations, that all may hear of this beautiful name, Yahweh Saves, that they might believe that this child would grow, that this child would be sinless and spotless, the eternally begotten Son of the Father. God in the flesh came down to dwell with sinners like you and me. And then he took all of that sin upon himself. And he took all of that sin to the ugliness of the cross. Bloody, beaten, he suffered for 6 hours to die. And in that moment, he cries out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Acknowledging that the Father so hates sin that he turns away from sin made incarnate. That is the reality of this baby boy. And while our world may still have some of those songs on, at least through today, because tomorrow, you know, it'll be gone, we rejoice in the fact that this child is our redemption. That this child is the one who put all things into motion by his word. That this child is the one who saves us from our sins. But we also confess that this child, as a man, would rise again, that not even death could contain him. That on the 40th day after that, he would ascend to his Father and your Father. By the adoption, you have been made sons. And he is seated on the right hand, waiting to come back in his full glory to judge the living and the dead. All in the fullness of time, God acts according to his purpose. And sometimes we forget that it's according to God's purpose, according to God's time. Too often we try to make it our time, our purpose, instead of praying the prayer that our Lord gave us, thy will be done. We try to have so much control over the things that we do not control that we do not allow God to be God. You are not your own. You were bought with the price. And through the waters of holy baptism, God has declared you a son and an heir of all of his glory, of all that he has. It is now yours because of Jesus Christ, because of his grace and his blessing. Mary was foretold this by the angel Gabriel. And then the angels told the shepherds about what had transpired. And this baby was the Savior of the world. The shepherds ran that night to find him wrapped in swaddling clothes, laid in a manger. On the 8th day, January 1st, he was circumcised. His name was proclaimed even further. The first time that he shed his blood for sinners like you and me so that we might have the law fulfilled perfectly on our behalf. And so this little child bleeds to keep God's law. At 40 days old, according to the law, this child was presented in the temple. And at his presentation, Simeon, who had been promised that he would not see death until he had seen the Lord's Christ, holds this 40-day-old baby in his arms and cries out to heaven, giving glory to God. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, for thy word has been fulfilled. You sing those words as Lutherans every single Sunday. Most Christians throughout the world sing it as a part of compline, some of the last words sung at evening time. But as Lutherans, we see the beauty of these words and we place them directly after we have done more than see the Lord's Christ, after rather we have tasted the Lord's Christ, after we have been fed by the Lord's Christ, after we received his body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins. And I will say this over and over again until we absolutely have the joy that should fill us in this fact, that after communion, we are not singing, great, it's almost time to turn on the game. Rather, we are singing, Lord, I love that you have forgiven my sins. And because of you and because of your gifts, I can die at peace with you. That's what the Nunc Dimittis, the Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, truly means. You should walk out of here with that joy. And that joy should so bubble over you that you go out and you let people know about why you are so filled with that joy. That joy should get you through a few days of the week, and then you can return to the Lord's house and be built up with it once again. Mary and Joseph would see this Simeon cry out with these words. They would see as Anna would be praying fervently. What a beautiful testament to a widow that heart was for the Lord. Every single day she devoted herself to fasting and to prayer. Every single day she made sure that she told as many people as she could about the reason for hope. And now this, her reason, was before her eyes, and she cried out in the great glory of God. All of these things are transpiring around Mary and Joseph. And then Simeon says this to her. Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Here you are, the mother of this 40-day-old in the flesh child that the Lord has blessed you miraculously, even though you were a virgin. And you are told that he would divide many people, even in the house of Israel, and that a sword would pierce her own soul. Surely Mary recounted those words when she heard the crowds crying out, "Crucify him, crucify him." And when she saw her bloodied baby boy that she loved and held on her lap when he was a baby, nailed to the tree of the cross for her own sins and for the sins of the world. This is a woman that the church gives honor to, because her faith is in her Savior just as our faith is. A woman who had to endure both the joy and the loss of her son. She had to watch it as they mocked him, this boy that she loved, as they ridiculed him, as they spat on him. She would watch these things, and she would watch him and know there was nothing she could do for him. You understand what that pain can sometimes feel like as a parent or grandparent, an aunt or uncle, when you see a child going through the hardships of life, knowing that there is nothing you can do to take it away. But Mary allowed these things to transpire because she knew that it was absolutely necessary. And so, yes, a sword did pierce her own soul. She felt it deeply and completely. But then she knew of his resurrection, for this was told around town. The very thing that she was hopeful of actually transpired. And in this, she could continue singing the words that she sang when she was told of this child, when she met Elizabeth, who was also with child, that God was gracious to her and to the whole world. Simeon cries out with words that we get to cry out with. Mary sings out words that we get to sing out with. We are reminded of the joy of Christmas, of the reality of Good Friday, and the joy that is Easter. That all of these things transpire for sinners like you and like me. And that you are more than conquerors. You are not just another person on the side of the street. You are a child of God. You have been washed. You have been called. His name has been placed upon you. This is how you are to live. Oftentimes, this Sunday is the Sunday that I have us sing all the Lutheran Christmas hymns, if you couldn't already tell that. But these words of Luther's, another one of his Christmas hymns, are so beautiful, and again, right to the point. O then rejoice that through his Son, God is with sinners now at one. Made like yourselves of flesh and blood, your brother is the eternal God. What harm can sin and death then do? The true God now abides with you. Let hell and Satan rage and chafe. Christ is your brother. Ye are safe. Ye shall and must at last prevail. God's own ye are. Ye cannot fail. To God forever sing your praise. With joy and patience all your days. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.